Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I am Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars, The Fifth Wars, Heat J. We'll jump straight into the first of our Cat 3 against the Yellow Robot matches.
From Addlestone, Cat 3.
Which is a... So it's the same team that made Caterkiller. This team... This is not the final form of the robot. It is this sort of inverted wedge with an axe that's kind of at an awkward angle.
Yeah. I'll admit, like, Cat 3, or the Cat team in general, hasn't been one of my favourite teams in the past. But to be honest, we'll rediscover that conversation at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And their opponents, from Swansea, Mini-Morgue.
Which is definitely the Morgue team's weakest version.
Yes. Yeah, remember last week when we were discussing Steg and their devolution? It seems as if it's also happening with Morgue.
Yeah, I don't know what happens in this match. Just... The Morgue, also, once again, the Morgue is absolutely, positively, the most unlucky team when it comes to the previous year. Because that was the team that definitely put Firestorm in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So anyway.
Nevertheless. So Mini-Morgue has an axe and I'm going to assume some kind of flipping weapon that never seems to work.
Yeah. It's this kind of weird thing where because of the way that Cat's axe is set up.
Excuse me.
The distance it has to go. The distance away from it its opponent has to be for the axe to hit just renders it useless.
A little bit, yeah.
That said, Mini-Morgue is going... It's travelling so slowly. It's almost sarcastic.
And knowing that team, that might be what they were going for.
So it does mean that Cat 3 is able to quite comfortably control the fight.
Yeah, very easily. Like, it doesn't seem as if Morgue really puts up much of a fight throughout this whole thing.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like by the end of the fight that like Cat 3 just gets bored. And so it's like, right, just go for the pit. And then... Like, they go for the pit, and then they just scoop right in under Mega-Morgue. Mega-Morgue doesn't even put up any kind of a fight. Boom, in the pit. And then Cat 3 celebrates, because I feel like this might be one of the first times they've ever won anything in their life.
But it will not be the last. This is a team that ends up in the All-Stars!
Yeah. I mean, I really do like the team. Like, they seem like nice people.
So, anyway... We get on to our next match.
Fun. Let's. The sooner we talk about it, the sooner it'll be over. From Dublin, Monad.
This team got in and Arnold Terminator did not.
Yeah.
This is a Petrol robot. It is a box. Petrel? It is so high off the ground that it might as... The last time I saw a robot with this much ground force, it was called Groundhog, and it was part of the greatest shot of Robot Wars history. And also, it has... So its weapons are these sort of jaws.
Kind of.
And any time it moves forward, it practically does a wheelie.
To be honest, that bit's quite fun. Just watching it just go... Yeah. Yeah, even on its weaknesses, its strengths, robust design, its weaknesses, high ground clearance.
Yep.
And it clearly has like a fan in the back because it's got like little what do you call that? Like ribbons or something. Like at the back that are kind of just in the wind.
Well, probably the exhaust pipe.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, because you said it was petrol. Yeah, you're right. And their opponent, from Hove, Tiberius 2.
So Tiberius, which is a team that will pretty much, in many ways, are the most successful Crusher bot that's not Razor.
Yeah.
I think is probably the kind of... the best way to categorize this team.
It is kind of annoying that, like, you know, just because Razor perfected the Crusher, like, every other crushing robot just gets called a Razor clone.
And also, obviously, this is the team that eventually becomes more associated with another much more powerful weapon robot. Also, Photon Storm, but this is the team that eventually becomes Carbide.
You don't say.
Yeah, we said this the last time Tiberius appeared.
Yeah, and you forget that I drink during this recording, so the second that we finish, I forget everything.
So anyway,
that's why I'm just subscribed to our podcast so I can listen to it back, because it's like listening to a new podcast for me.
Yep. Well, to be fair, that's also because you're listening to it and going, "Oh, I didn't as much as I think I did." No, that's because I edited it.
Yeah. No, can confirm that. Like, we've both done enough editing of ourselves that we can now just see the sound file of us going,
yeah,
and then go, okay, right, we know that that's there. Obviously, don't edit out that one, because otherwise this whole explanation would be pointless.
Yep.
But every time we see that, we just know, right, that's what that is, that can go.
Yeah. So, anyway, so it is... there is this moment... At first, so the two robots are kind of battling for position. Tiberius finally gets a grip on Monad. And it's almost like the armor just evaporates.
It was already hanging off before Tiberius even, like, got a pinch in. Like, it was, like, one of the flaps was just not screwed in or whatever the fuck. It was already, like, breaking apart just from movement.
And after a while, it's clear that Monad's jaw has dislocated because it's just kind of flopping about.
Yeah.
Like a damp slug.
I mean, yeah, I agree that Arnold Terminator should have definitely been in this more than Monad. But for some reason, I just kind of got like a little bit of I guess probably the best comparison would be Rusty from recent BattleBots.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, look at him. He's trying. But yeah, as I say, this match doesn't last very long. And the armor, also considering the fact that I said apparently robust armor was a strength of Monad on his stats, the armor did not fare very well when it came to putting up against a Crusher. And Monad eventually, after falling completely apart, gets put in the pit.
Oh no, there's this awful moment where Monad just goes silent and you're like, oh no. Oh no.
Oh dear.
Our next match is it's a big one. It's a legend of the sport.
Yes, Sir Killer is in the arena for this match.
Who else is in this match?
Probably one of my least liked robots ever.
What have you got against Clip tonight?
Nothing, because when I seen his name, I haven't been able to get this on Kryptonite by 3 Days Grace or Three Doors Down. I can't remember which one because they both have three in it. But that song's been stuck in my head ever since I watched this episode. But I'm just wondering about God. If I go crazy, would you still call me Superman? Kryptonite. So, you know, Kryptonite now. Clearly a robot I will never forget. But Kryptonite, he is from... That's not where he's from. I had the wrong
Kryptonite is from East Farley.
From East Farley, Kryptonite.
Yep.
And his opponent, from the Isle of Sheppey, Major Tom.
Stay salty. So Major Tom this year is now in its bumper car form.
Yep.
And yeah, it's now got a spinning disc.
Yes.
And the spinning disc is surprisingly effective.
Well, when your opponent is made of tinfoil.
And then Kryptonite not only looks like a Season 2 robot, it also randomly conks out like a Season 2 robot.
It sure does.
Meaning that Major Tom gets his second and final victory in Robot Wars history.
Thank God you said final.
Yeah, no, this is its only one-on-one victory.
And I feel like it didn't even really do anything for it to win this fight.
I mean,
I don't think it was the weapon that conked out Kryptonite. I think it was just Kryptonite just died on its own accord.
I mean, it's not like Kryptonite's the one and only other time that this team appears in Robot Wars. This team again is in a match with Major Tom and loses.
Oh? Has that fight been yet, or...?
No, Series 7.
Okay.
Yeah, this team has never fought anyone other than Major Tom and a couple of others, but that's literally the only team they fight twice.
I feel so sorry. Yeah. Well, we have some time to kill, so send in the house robots. Matilda completely caves in the side of Kryptonite.
Yes.
And then we get the return of the big swing from Sir Killalot.
Yep.
Then we get this weird bit where Sir Killalot has no idea what to do with Kryptonite. And even, like, Jonathan Pierce, like, says about like 3 or 4 times, oh, okay, time for the pit, and then like Sir Killalot just kind of goes, nah, like I'll lift it up again, then I'll bring it down, let Matilda smash it some more, and then JP's like, okay, he's going to go for the pit now. And he's like, no, he's going to hover it over the fire. And he's like, okay, right now, down in the pit. And eventually Sir Killalot's like, okay, down in the pit. But it's just, it just made like Sir Killalot look, I don't know, like almost, what's the word? Like sentient? He just looked so indecisive about what he wanted to do.
I don't know. I'm having fun.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. It looked like he had so many options. He's like, I don't know what to do first.
So anyway,
it's like it was like that meme of that little girl eating like cotton candy, and you just seen the sugar rushing up from it.
Yeah.
So, Major Tom advances to the next round.
Hooray! And now we then get a nice bit of relaxing. Right, I'm going to make this clear. I love watching Panic Attack work.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, no surprise, we were massive Panic Attack fans, and
in all seriousness, nothing to do with interviewing Kim Davies.
No, essentially, like, our interview with Kim Davies was us just gushing over Panic Attack because we loved it so much, like, so, like, there was not even, like, bias.
Uh-huh.
To that, because like, I mean, I feel like we pretty much showed our love for Panic Attack well before we interviewed him.
Yeah.
Kim Davis. So, but this
is so relaxing to watch.
Yeah, it's like, while I can completely get, like, I don't think many, if any, people have actually said that Panic Attack bores them because it's slow and methodical, but if there is anyone out there, I can see why you would say that. However, I would disagree, because I feel like
you're fully entitled to your wrong opinion.
Yeah, you're fully entitled to like whoever you want. But at least
you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the basic is. Like, yeah, you're entitled to like whoever you want, and whoever you might find boring, other people don't. That's what makes the world go round, is different opinions. But saying all that to say that this is like the masterclass of robot combat driving. Like, yeah, sure, you might say, like, you could say, oh, yeah, so every match just ends the same. It's like, no, but, like, not every robot's the same, and so, like, Panic Attack needs to go in, like, weird ways to grip a robot to do the things that it does. There was actually a question during this fight. Like, there was one point where we actually seen the self-writer move for what seems to be the first time ever.
Well, I think
it's, do you think that like, he was trying to clamp
Barbarous and this plan the was basically like you hook him up onto the fangs, you lift them into that area, and then you carry them to the pit. I think that was the plan.
Also, I just realized we have not introduced this match, so I'll do that quickly. From Cardiff, Panic Attack. And his opponent, from Horsham, Barbarous.
Oh, we love Barbarous. Barbarous is cool. Barbarous is that cool robot you design as a kid. It's like, what if a drum spinner put the whole robot?
I mean, I don't know if I've told this story before, but back in the day when, as a kid and collecting all the Robot Wars toys and all that, I got the big remote control Matilda, and it came with like interchangeable chainsaw and flywheel. Before Matilda had the flywheel on TV, by the way. So that was definitely some forward thinking. Anyway, I made the flywheel a robot in my Robot Wars game, I guess, when I was playing with all the action figures. So I just like spun it around like on a top. And obviously I had Lego as well, so I made Lego robots. And the flywheel just decimated all the Lego robots. And it was so fucking cool as a child. There was no logic behind it whatsoever. I was just spinning a flywheel. It was just dismantling all these Lego robots.
Yep.
Remember days when you were a kid and you needed to make your own fun?
Well, we didn't really have... We had the internet, but you had to, like, take the landline off to do it. And people didn't like that.
No. Or every time, like, they needed to use the phone, like, you're just in the middle of something and it just cuts out. And you're like, aw.
Yep.
Those were the days. We're old.
And Panic Attack basically takes one look at Barbara and goes, I have absolutely no way to control you. So I'm just going to tank it and go, you're new. You're not going to be able to survive about four hits. And they're right.
Yeah, like this was literally the equivalent of, I'm going to break your fist with my face. And that's what Panic Attack did, is just it kept going in and taking hits from Barbarous until Barbarous killed itself.
Yep.
And then the driving, as we said, came in and got Barbarous in the pit. In its own special way. It's because every robot needs its own special way to be put into the pit.
Yep.
And so Barbarous goes down. It was a decent attempt from Barbarous, so I'll give it that.
Oh no, but... credit to them. They did better than they had any right to. And many teams have fought Panic Attack and done worse.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax, spelled TekNoAxe.
So we move on to our semi-finals.
Indeed. So.
So you, like, as I said at the beginning of this episode, I wasn't a massive fan of the cat robots growing up. And I wasn't a massive fan of Major Tom growing up. So you can imagine as a child when this match got pitched to me of two teams that I'm not massive fans of having to fight against each other.
I mean, did you not at least find it funny?
Well, I find it funny that there's a cat and someone named Tom in the same match.
Yeah.
All we needed was a mouse. Then you would have had Tom and Jerry. But
that's a sign that you're getting old, in my opinion, when you realise that Jerry's the bad guy.
Yes. It's like The Simpsons as well. Like when you grew up, you know, Bart was your favourite, but when you got older you realised Homer was your favourite. And it's like it's because you grew up so much that you then could relate more to Homer and his like kind of problems of being an adult that you couldn't when you were a child.
Yes. So anyway, this match is kind of I'll be honest, it's a nothing match until the very end, where Major Tom pushes Cat 3 into the pit release button and then proceeds to reverse into the pit.
Yeah. Because the thing was, it's not a long fight, but as you say, when Major Tom pushes Cat 3 into the pit release button, it does some severe damage to the back of Cat 3.
Yeah.
So, I generally wonder if Cat could even move after that, but obviously, it didn't matter because Major Tom just goes there and goes, right in the pit.
Oh, it's comedic. It's hilarious.
It was almost like Major Tom got so excited.
I'm winning!
Done something. I've actually done damage. Yeah. Oh no, a giant hole in the ground.
I'm winning. I'm not winning.
And then to be honest, it was the way that it was almost like an old person on an elevator. Like, you know, like those wheelchair elevators that you get that just go super slow because it just kind of sat in that and just went, bye bye, everybody. Bye bye.
Yay! Oh no.
It's just because it was so slow and the way it was going down, it was just like, never have I seen defeat like be so slow before. It was just like, oh shit. Well, this is clearly happening and there's no way of getting out of this. I guess I should just accept defeat now. And then that was the smoke going off.
Oh no.
It was just so slow that like they could get like an entire diatribe out.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a match that happened, and then the other match is actually interesting.
Which I feel like all three of these episodes have had something like this, where it's like one match goes ridiculously short, and then the second match, in the semis, obviously. The first match goes ridiculously short, and then the second match actually gives you some intrigue. It gives you a fight.
I'm actually quite sad in a way, because I really wish this had been the final, because it would have been a cracking final.
Yeah. I know, Tiberius really, really, I'd say he done pretty damn well.
Yeah, it's a real, it's a nasty battle between Tiberius and Panic Attack. Now, at first, Panic Attack just gets under straight away, and you're like, okay, it's going to be the Panic Attack match, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And then there's this moment where Tiberius manages to hook, it basically gets Panic Attack when the fangs are up. And it just puts its crusher, unfortunately, it doesn't hit anything of value. But there is this moment where you're just like, oh, he's actually got a good crush on.
He's got something going here.
Because it's as close as we're ever going to get to Panic Attack versus Razor.
Yeah, see, everybody talks about Hypnodisc versus Razor being the Robot Wars match that we never got. But yeah, that would be an interesting one.
When you think about it, we never got Panic Attack Chaos 2.
Mm-hmm.
We never got Panic Attack Hypnodisc, and we never got Panic Attack Razor.
Yeah. So Panic Attack actually 3 frontrunners for dream matches that never happened.
Yeah. Or Panic Attack versus Roadblock would have been interesting to see, actually.
And they had a chance to do it.
So, anyway, Jonathan Pierce gets weird here.
Uh-huh.
Because Jonathan Pierce, so after that momentary bit of interest, Panic Attack goes, okay, this has been fun. I take you off your wheels now.
Bored now.
Bored now. And Jonathan Pierce, every time Panic Attack is going backwards, with Tiberius's wheels clearly off the ground. Who's in control? It's a heave-ho. No, it's not. It's Panic Attack dangling Tiberius off its wheels.
You can literally see the wheels not even on the ground. It's like, oh, Tiberius is fighting back. Is he? Are you watching a different fight? Yeah, because once again, Panic Attack gets its one in a million, or probably for Panic Attack, like, you know, 99,999 out of a million shot, because he's just that damn good at this. Where he just finds this little slab, like a little indent under Tiberius's sort of front scoop thing. Digs the forks in and then just holds them there, and it's just the slow, methodical, like, it's really kind of, it's almost like that feeling of, like, you kind of see it in movies and stuff, see, like, if somebody's being kidnapped and you know that there's, like, no way out, but then, like, they drag it out for ages before, like, say, the person that's been kidnapped has been murdered or something. It's like that kind of thing of, like, you know that you're fucking done at this point, but it takes so long before the end comes. Because it was, like, Tiberius was stuck up there for probably close to a minute for Panic Attack to get the perfect hook in, then drive him over to the pit button, hit the pit button, wait for the pit to go down, and then angle him in the perfect way so he will Tiberius will go into the pit. And it was just like, oh, it's a long, drawn-out sort of end to you.
And, yeah. The last bit of interest is Panic Attack. It goes to put Tiberius in. And then as Tiberius is going in, there's this moment where Panic is like, it's fine.
Weeble wobble, weeble wobble.
Now, is it this fight or the cat fight? I can't remember which. One of these two, Panic Attack almost overshoots it, has the robot over the other side of the pit and them dangling over it.
Yeah. I think it might be the... Oh, well... he doesn't, this one, actually. Like, I've bumped it back. He does kind of, like, go over the corner, and you can kind of see Panic Attack starting to go, like, leaning over. It's like, even then, like, see if Panic Attack did kind of, like, fall in, I would imagine, like, because of the weight distribution, T2 would probably fall in before Panic Attack would. And then maybe even would then come away from Panic Attack, and then Panic Attack would then kind of ricochet back up or something.
Yep. So, anyway.
So, we have the final of Cat 3 versus Panic Attack.
And let's be perfectly honest. The same thing happens again with one key difference, which is one. So what happens, Panic Attack gets its hook on its fang underneath the front of Cat. Mm-hmm. And there's this horrible moment as you see over the course of the fight, slowly the panel that the fang is pushing on is being pulled up and up till suddenly the other side of the fang is hanging out of the front of Cat. And you are simply going, thank goodness robots cannot feel pain.
Yeah.
And two, the whole time that Cat 3 is on the Fang of Panic Attack, it is doing everything it can to try and swing.
Yeah.
It's like going, I'm not going down without a fight!
It does try, but it gets caught right away. Does Cat 3. And it's swinging, and I don't think even most of the axe blows are even connecting. No, but at least it's trying.
The axe is just it's just not able to touch. It maybe could take some paint off, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it maybe got a few dinks on the occasion, but for most of them, it's just flailing, like, wildly.
Yeah.
And, like, so the whole fight, completely dominated by Panic Attack, and it's just, again, the exact same, slow, methodical, you're gonna die, but it's gonna take time. And as we kind of just discussed, yeah, Panic Attack does it again here. It almost overshoots the pit and almost puts itself in.
And I'll put it this way. I can kind of see why, if you're like a 10-year-old child, that's quite dull.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not a 10-year-old child, so it's amazing.
No, we just act like it.
Yes.
But yeah, I know that's really kind of what I was trying to say earlier. But sometimes words aren't my specialty, which is, you know, brilliant when you co-host a podcast is when words isn't one of your strong suits. But like, yeah, totally. Like, it's this thing of like, and this is the thing that I've like really enjoyed about going back through these seasons as you know, on paper, grown-ass adult, is seeing things that I probably might not have appreciated as a child watching this, because obviously, you know, Hypnodisc was my favorite growing up because Robot makes smash smash.
Yeah.
But now, like, going back and, like, talking more in-depth about, like, Panic Attack and is it most incredible, like, robot driving, and that being, like, one of the things that gets us really giddy.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Absolutely.
So, Panic Attack is once again through to the series semifinals. And as I alluded to at the beginning of this episode, I will give complete full credit to Cat 3. It went farther than I ever remembered it going. And yeah, again, I've seen
it's another one of these robots that has anti-Weldor syndrome.
Yeah. One of these ones that I always thought really kind of sucked. And it's like, you know what? It got to a heat final. And
it did better than did we it on could its own. Do.
Yeah, definitely. Like, fair play to them, absolutely.
So, anyway, the trivia.
Yes, please.
Every battle in this heat ended with the loser being pitted. Therefore, there were no judges' decisions, like Heat D.
Hmm.
Cat 3, Barbarous, and Team Monad would all be drawn in Heat K of the Sick Fours as well.
Monad comes back?
2 seconds, I'll get some more details for you. Monad.
Or maybe it's just Team Monad and they have a different robot.
It's Team Monad, it's not Monad, it's... No, the robot they enter the net in Series 6 is a robot called 4x4.
Ah, okay.
And they then also make a robot called Topbot, which takes Diotiel's place as the Irish representation in the World Championship.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Anyway, more trivia.
Yes.
Scroll down. All 8 teams competed in Series 7, the only one of the 12 heats of Series 5 to contain 8 robots that competed in Series 7. All 8 teams in this heat also failed to make it past the heats in Series 7, and ironically, 2 of the robots... Ironically, 2 of the robots Panic Attack beat reached the heat final, which Panic Attack doesn't.
Ooh.
Because that's the year that Kim Davis doesn't drive it.
Mm.
Jonathan Pierce claimed at the start of the heat that Panic Attack won Series 3 when it actually won the series before, Series 2. However, he did make the correct claim later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the episode, Michael Davies is wearing a Team Raptor cap. That is a Team Raptor that made Cyclone, Ripperaptor, and Tut-Tut.
Yeah.
As well as the Raptor series of robots and BattleBots.
Ah!
Cat 3's battle with Major Tom was chosen as the funniest battle in Robot Wars by Robot Wars, the Ultimate Guide.
I mean, was pretty hilarious.
And this heat is the last of four times that Panic Attack made it to the semi-finals.
The last time?
Yep.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Because also, we know what we're getting next season with Panic Attack.
The end credits only did not... That's not English. The end credits didn't have any clips from the Heat Final in it.
Interesting.
Because the way it's worded on the wiki is, the end credits only did not include clips from the Heat Final.
It only did not? Yeah.
Yes.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
That's like something I would write.
That's like something I would write.
The difference is I would be sober whilst doing it. So anyway, well, that is...
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, if you see my notes, like, see the... Like, it's just a mass of fucking spelling errors and plot holes that don't go anywhere.
So, I didn't realise you wrote The Room, Tommy.
Hi, Mark.
So that was Heat J. So we've got two heats to go.
Yep, and you know who we're getting next week?
I do.
Yep, that's right, baby. Something is back in the arena.
Yay! Wait, what?